It says up there in Shulchan Aruch, a nafkamina based on Zayir. Based on Zayir, what's a nafkamina? In Shulchan Aruch, it says, what happens if a Jew on Leil Seder, he forgets the Afikoyman. He forgets the Afikoyman, or what other different cases that he forgets. And he's already holding by saying Havlin v'Nevarich, maybe even Mayim Achreinim, he says that's bench. So the Shulchan Aruch says, normally what would be in such a situation, we would say, that's it, he's not allowed to eat anymore. Or he would have to make another hamaitzi or something, but the Yid forgot the afikoyman. Says the Shulchan Aruch, he says, tonight is different. Ataka derachmana. We're sitting on the table of the Ribbono Shel Olam, which means that on a regular day, everyone knows if you go into somebody's house and he serves you a drink and you add kavana to make the bracha, and you're just drinking and whatever, he gives you a drink, and then you decided you're done because you figured he's not serving anymore. And then he brings out more food. So the halacha is that we say, daita the balabayas, yasaymech on the das of the balabayas, and since you didn't know the balabas was going to bring you out more food, so your bracha continues, because your mind is whatever he's going to serve. On this night, the balabas is the Ribbono Shel Olam, and the Zayir says, zeh ha-shulchan of Nelekin. We're going into a different type of a dimension, that the table is going to be brought in front of the Ribbono Shel Olam, so much so, that's not just a Zayir, I mean, something great is a Zayir, but it's an afkamina in halacha, that if the person were to forget the afikoyman, the meal's not over, because it's not up to you. Tonight is a Seder. There's 1,820 words in the Haggadah connected to 1,829 times it says the name of Shem Hashem in the Torah. It's a different night, Rabbi Yisai. It's a miuchadik night. It's a night of Nodet Oshnas HaMelech. The Adamska, the Tver Shlomo, yes, the Kasha. The Minig Ashkenazim is we say Vayhi B'chatzi HaLayla. We say Vayhi B'chatzi HaLayla on that night, and we say all the different things that occurred on the night of Leil Seder. This happened, that happened. One of the things is Nodet Oshnas HaMelech. Achashverosh woke up, he couldn't sleep. Now we know, not that the Shnas HaMelech, we know Melech is a reference to a Kadosh Baruch Hu in the Megillah. Whenever it says Melech in the Megillah, it means the Ribbono Shel Olam himself. Not that the Shnas HaMelech. So what? Why couldn't the Ribbono Shel Olam sleep that night? Listen to the Damska. Listen to the Farash Shlomo. He says his son from Nifla. Nifla Adla Me'oid. He says on that night, Mordechai is a very smart man. Mordechai knew that they're going to be fasting on Yud Gimel, they're going to be fasting on Yud Dalet, they're going to be fasting on Tetzvav. And he knows the Yidden are going to be unable to make the Seder that year. And that was the first time in history since Yitzias Mitzrayim that the Ribbono Shel Olam did not get a Seder. And Mordechai knew that on that night, the Ribbono Shel Kivyachol is going to wake up, Zot Tzvar Shalom, where's the Seder? Say, no, there's no Seder. The Yidden are fasting. And by the way, Zot Mordechai, this is what it's going to look like in a world without Klal Yisrael. There's not going to be a Seder. And that, says the Zayar, is the greatest hanah and pleasure HaKadosh Baruch Hu gets in this world. The greatest hanah and pleasure in this world, is not Yom Kippur, is the night of Seder. It's a different world, it's a different night. And that's the greatest pleasure he gets. And Mordechai is telling him, if you're going to get rid of the Eden, if Chalila will be exer against the Eden, this is what the world looks like when there's no Seder, not the Doshnas HaMelech. And the Ribbono Shel Olam woke up, Kivyal, and canceled the exer. That was the whole tachlis. The whole next Purim is all for that one purpose. I wanted to ask two shailas. You know, it's good in these times. I think the ikkar is the shaylus. The ikkar is you're sitting with zevach mishpacha. You're sitting around tables and now it's going to be shaylus ha-gadol and bachim are back from yeshiva and whatnot. It's good to have shaylus. I'll tell you my tirutzim. Don't take my tirutzim. Take different ones. But it's good to have shaylus. This is maybe what you're talking about in the Seder. The Seder, you don't talk about the pilpulim and the brisker rov and the this and the that. At the Seder, you talk about frogs. Right? How many frogs? What do you think it was? How dreadfully silly are the Arabs? How dreadfully stupid. They hit the frog, and another one comes, and another one comes. At what point does he stop, right? Why did he do that? So everyone knows the terrors of the stifler. That's what kass is. That's anger. You get angry. What happens when you get angry? You get angrier. What happens when you get angry? You get really angry. Right? You get really, really angry. There's no seichel in that. So that's the limit, but I'm sure there's another terrors. Right? And what's the pshat? Was it the dam? Where was the dam? And where was the dam? You have to go through. Did Seltzer turn to dam? Madasa, did the seltzer turn to dam? I don't know. Maybe it's Zafka Selt, maybe it's water. I don't know. Elam, are you going to tell me? No, come on, seltzer's water too. Did Sprite turn to dam? I don't know. I don't work for Sprite, Rabbi. I have no RC. I don't know. Does the, well, something, some might taste like dam for something, but did these things turn to dam? I have no idea, right? I'll have another question. My friends, the scientists tell me that your blood is made up of 70% water, okay? So, you know, that means that the water in the blood, that turned to dam, was it like blood? I don't, you know, this is what you talk about the Seder. And then you tell the children. That's how much the Ribbono Shel Olam loves us. When people shepherd with the Yidden, Daddy can't take. So then he transcends everything. That's how you talk about Rabbi Yisai. So this is what we talk about. So I'll give you a few examples of what, you know, my manishtani, my question is that we have to talk about the Seder. One shaila is, why are there four cups of wine? Why not four bars of chocolate? I don't know if this kind of bothers you, right? I don't like wine that much. I'm not such a wine drinker, right? But okay, so it could be yoked with grape juice. Most places can hold it anyways, okay. But you know, why not four bars of chocolate? Or four steaks, right? That's zikr, no? Or four, something that you like. Or it should be four of anything you like. So this is what the goyin got. Do you like the shayla? If you like the shayla, don't listen to my terrors. Think of a different terrors. Not my terrors. Shlomo Zalman Orbach. This is what he writes. Shlomo Zalman says that the difference between wine and all of the food is that a person eats chocolate, he eats another bar of chocolate. After a while, you can't have too much chocolate. Or whatever it is, you had enough. Especially if it's a sweet thing, you had enough. Wine is the only thing that the more you drink it, the more you want. Right? That's how it works. Right? For those that understand why I had an 800 or 900 bokhum in my house on Purim that proved this, all sheep this. And I said, the more wine that you have, the more wine that you want. It creates a sufficient zalman. When it comes to ge'ula, anyway, it was that ge'ula in Mitzrayim, and will come the eventual ge'ula. So then the kirva to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's going to be so much, just going to have more and more and more and more. It doesn't end. It's a certain thing that goes and goes and goes and goes. That's why we drink wine. You like that terrace? If you don't, think of a different one. If not, no, say it over. It's a nice terrace. Then we have wine. Power up in pajamas be'emtza layla. Everywhere I go, I spoke in France, I spoke in America, in England, everywhere they go, they have this song. In Hebrew, they have it in the Hebrew, right? In Yiddish, I had a whole group of Yiddish kids singing it. They had the whole niggin. I didn't know pajamas, pajamas, tochshan, I don't know, right? And they have a whole niggin. Why is this niggin become such an integral chelik of Klal Yisrael? I mean, Rabbi said, it has to be. If the Rebbeinu Shalom allowed this, that this should be something which, you know, this is what's going into the bloodstream. The Pesach can talk about this. Whenever you have something that you find has become accepted, then that means that this is most an integral chelik of the story. So why is power pajamas? I mean, it must have been a very, very funny sight. Imagine this is like the Gemara describes him. He was just like the 2 feet fellow, right? Not this, 2 feet this way, 2 feet that way. And he's walking through the street and he's wearing pajamas and all the cheder children, he's acting, where's Moshe? And this one's going that way, and this one's that way. It's like a Labadik, right? Ramesh must have looked good, but why is that such an integral part of the story? I'm going to tell you a shot. Okay? But you should think of a different shot. I'm going to tell you what I think. I tell you two pshatim. What was the whole machlekes between Moshe Rabbeinu and Paro? The whole machlekes looked something like this. Paro said, God? Ich bin Gott. I'm God. Right? Paro spoke Yiddish. Ich bin Gott. So Moshe Rabbeinu said, God? Like, come on. Every morning, the Yor, Asher Yotze, Asher, we know what's going on here. He said, no, I'm God. God? You're not God. That was the whole machlekes. I'm God. You're God. Rabbi said, there's one thing for sure. God don't sleep. And if God don't sleep, God don't have pajamas. Mm-hmm. That's for sure. Okay? That's what's enough. That's one. Got him. That's one. But I think there's another pshat. This is what I think. Okay? Azar Russia. Such a Russia. I mean, they went through frogs. They went through dog. You know what I do with my child? I try to think, what's the most gishmaka maka? What's the most gishmaka maka? So I always say, what's it? Frogs. No, that's me. I grew up with that, that's frogs, right? There's a nigga in frogs on his nose and frogs on his tush, right? That's the most gishmaka, right? It's interesting, Agav, and you should figure this out. You look at the maka of Arba in the Torah, and if you would ask me what's the least gishmaka maka, for sure Arba. Like locust, big deal. I mean, it's gefährlich, we don't want it. But that's the biggest maka, shrin, and kinim, and sour of, right? Wild animals, the octopus running down the street after the, and all of a sudden they get there and they close the door and they're sitting there going like this to the, they don't realize there's an elephant there, he's trying to get in, there's an octopus coming from above him like this, and he's putting up the latch and he's going like this, and they're going like this, and they take the, right? That's you have to talk to the kids. But why Arba? Why Arba? So if you look in the Torah and Arba, if you see in the Torah's Lashon, Arba is the most gishmaka maka. Figure this out why. I don't know why. I do know a little bit. I don't want to tell you. Right? Why is Arba the most gishmaka maka? You know and I both know it was Arba, it was frogs, it was this, but the Torah seems to say not like that. It seems to be Arba. It looked good, the Torah is mashma, because Arba, everything was done. Barad had destroyed everything in the field. It was all done. It was all done. And he left over just a little bit, just to, you know, just when they're down. You know, you think your own Torah. I ain't shocked. But my cash is like this. He comes that night, he had Arba, he had Oroiv, he had Barod, Shchin, all the Gishmakers, Chleishech, right? Playing Chleishech for hours, you can play Chleishech, right? I once told the children, we're going to sleep Shabbos afternoon, we're playing Chleishech today. Right? Worked for about a half an hour, worked. We're playing Chleishech. What happened? What happened, Rabbi Yisai? Was he crazy? Was Paru crazy? Was he nuts? At least, maybe Moshe Rabbeinu al-Safik. Maybe everyone's going to die tonight. Maybe half the people in Mitzrayim are going to die. Maybe your son, Paro, is going to die tonight. So, you know, at least that's Suffolk. So what should have happened? Paro should have been learning over Shtedra, over Dizar, and fall asleep, right? Like a normal person. He fell asleep or something. But it doesn't say that. It says in the Medrash, no, that Paro went to sleep. He's such a Rasha. Such a not because he put on pajamas. Such a Rasha. Such a Rasha. It means the person can get so much Aspiris. He can see so much of Yad Hashem. And he can just, it's all coincidence. Such a Rasha. That's the holy side of the story. That's the holy side. Paro put pajamas on Laila. I'm going to tell you one more story. Kechatzais Laila. Everyone knows the Gemara. Kechatzais Laila. Moshe Rabbeinu says, Kechatzais Laila. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Bechatzais Laila. At Chatzais. And Moshe Rabbeinu says, Kechatzais. The Gemara asks the Kasha. How come Moshe Rabbeinu says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him exactly. He said, Azay, what's going on? Comes a guy. Listen to the story. But the Gemara answers the Kasha. And the Gemara says, I'll tell you, because the stargazers, their clock was wrong. So what's going to happen? They're going to say, you see? See? 12 o'clock. And where's the Makkah? Now, Rabbi said, in a few seconds, they're going to realize their clock was wrong. They're going to realize. 4 seconds, they're going to all be dead. And they're going to realize, or they'll be very busy with other things. So what's the nafkamina? I'm going to tell you a story with Rav Scheinberg, Zichron Levracha. When Rav Scheinberg went to get smicha from Rav Baruch Ber, Rav Scheinberg was took the faher, took the test by Rabbi Ber. And Rabbi Ber, after he gave him the test, he said to him, look, the mahalach over here in the yeshiva is that now you have to stick around and I have to see your unhuggas. I can't just give smicha. I have to see, you know, if it's, the way you act. So he said, oh, but I have to go home. I didn't ask my wife for shus. He came to Kamenetz and his wife was back in Mir. So he said, I'll go home and ask for shus. Rabbi Ber said, no, and came, then send in people that know you. And all of a sudden everything changed. And he was this Scheinberg and this and that and whatever. You know, American. You know, so and he wrote him smicha. So Scheinberg asked him, what changed? What happened? So he said, look, I'm going to, you know, not give you a smicha, and you're going to come back. So you're going to go home. You're going to tell your wife. Your wife, she's waiting by the door. And I heard the story from his wife. Rebbe Scheinberg, Aleichem Shalom. Your wife is waiting by the door. And what happens? He's like, no, Chaim, did you get smicha? So he can say, no, I have to go back. That's the mahalach over there. It was up to Baruch Ber. Baruch Ber, we learn his Torah. Baruch Ber said, there's going to be 1 second that she's going to hear the word no, and for that 1 second, she's going to say, my Chaim is not such a Talmud Chacham. He said, for that, they'll burn me in Gehenna. Right? For that 1 second, that's already enough. That's pshat number one. That's a pshat in Paro Bepijot. That's a pshat in Shnickel. That's a pshat in Kichat Seis Laila. Even for 1 second on that night, when it comes Seder night, another Shnasa Melech, the 1,820 words, which is the 1,820 times that the Rebbe Shalom's name is in the Torah, on that night, which is Tokke de Rachmanah, when the Shulchan is in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even for 1 second, the Emunah has to be so mushrash. That's the night the Chassam Sefer says we have the ability to put into our children Emunah that lasts them their entire lifetime. The Chassam Sefer on that night, the Chassam Sofer, they once told his granddaughter, don't look into the face of the Chassam Sofer on the night of Seder. She was an Oberlander Yid that had married into the Mishpacha. Some Chashidah Shemaisa. She made the terrible mistake of looking into the face of the Chassam Sofer. And at the Levaya, they said over about his about the granddaughter, not the Levaya of the Chassam Sofer, the Levaya of the granddaughter, how on that night she was blind for the entire night because she looked into the face of the Chassam Sofer on such a night. But this Rabbi Sai, and I'll be messiah with this, is Rabbi Ber Lashitasai. Rabbi Baruch Ber was once a nasifa for Gedolim for the tzaddikim. I don't know what it was, and he was on the bama. He was on the stage, and somebody was speaking. And Rabbi Baruch Ber, the person who told me of the story, said that he's now in the Olam Ha'emes. The person who said the story, but he was saying how Rabbi Baruch Ber had never ever took off his kapot, never took off his hat. He was like he never took it off ever. No such. Says all of a sudden in the middle of like mamish kimat ganz klali, so Rabbi Baruch Ber takes off his jacket, and then takes off his hat. Very strange. And then he walks out, even stranger, and then he comes back in. So afterward, you know, I'll be the master, my high. He said, I had to be excused, Kederach HaOilam. He says, but you know what? This guy's speaking. This is also a Chashav Yid, obviously. And when I'm going to walk out, there's going to be a second. He's going to say, Rav Bachber doesn't hold of me. Right? Doesn't hold of me. He says, obviously, I'm going to come back a second later. And he's going to see, you have to be excused or whatever. You have to get a phone call later. Right? And he's going to come back and he'll realize, you know. He says, but you know, for that 1 second, that he's going to be in pain, you know, for that 1 second, they'll burn me in Gehenna. But that's that 1 second, that's Kechatzes HaLaila, that's his taka, a tremendous night. Tremendous night, you could be Mashu Shemuna, we have Avtocha, the Chassam Sofer says, on that night, if it's Kol Kula Emuna, Chasam Sofer used to say, we say, Kol Dichvin Yesei V'Yesei. And the Chasam Sofer asked, why now? Why are we saying it? We should get up in shul. We should come. Kol Dichvin Yesei V'Yesei. Now we're saying it's still a hate in the shul when no one's listening. We're in the house. We're after Kiddush already. Kol Dichvin Yesei V'Yechol. Chasam Sofer says, oh, the Kiddush on Seder night is different rules. Because the balabusta, she's nervous, there's not going to be enough food. You come home, you bring home all these orchim, she's nervous, there's not going to be enough food, what's going to be? I'm nervous. Right? And the night of the Kiddush that we make on Seder night, it's such a ruchni, it's such an unbelievable strength, that Kiddush. So now you're oisik in the dover ruchni of the Seder, and now there'll be enough food. Now there's no gvulim. So we wait till after Kiddush, and then we say, Kol tichvin yeseh v'yech on that night, Rabbi Yisrael, there's no gvulim. Whoever you are the rest of the year, it's a totally different person. There should be all zeicha, there should be mashush in ourselves in Abuna, there should be zeicha to send it down to the next link, the last link on that chain right before Mashiach, which is, this, we need that link to be the strongest link, Rabbi Yisrael. Zeicha, chag kosher, v'sameach.
Shkaya!